Welcome back to Geek Show Help Desk. Yeah.
Hey, waiting for James to talk, but
does nobody interrupt Tony anymore?
I was waiting for you to.
You've been gone a long time, man.
Oh, stuff's different, Jaren. We got to change this. And yes. Squeak, jeezy Pete's, man. We got to tackle on Tony. Look at him. Look
you
at all
what?
The.
Just do the intros. You've already started really well. Just finish off with the intros.
Welcome to Geek Show, whatever our new name is. My name is James. You can catch me here or on Twitter or on X or on TikTok or on Instagram at JDD Jensen. On to the square right to my right, Squeaky.
And I'm Squeaky, and you can find me on Facebook pretty much, only the only social medias that I do.
And there you go.
Right above me, we have Jaren.
Hi, I'm Jaren. You can find me on Twitter at Jaren. And you can find me on Geek Show Arcade, my favorite of the two. And we got a host. His name's Tony.
Hello, I'm Tony at Quad T Tony on Twitter/X and on other Geek Show podcasts. Great intro, guys. Great job.
We're killing it.
Can feel it in my bones. This is
we haven't
be
been
quite
derailed
an
even once.
I know. Owen is out for taking care of some family stuff, and Lando is out for also taking care of some family stuff.
He went to a Maverick and he picked himself up 3 Bahama Mamas because he has no self control when it comes to food.
That's 3 too many.
He went to town, man. He even got the jalapeno kind, so those jalapenos are working themselves out. No permission needed.
All right. Well, there you go. Let's see. Emails. Do we have any emails this week?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Email.
But before we get started, I forgot. This is the Geek Show Arcade. I mean, this is the Geek Show Help Desk, where we talk about tech gadgets and science-y related things. Okay, now we'll do emails.
Email.
Wow, we're on it today.
Now we're going to do emails.
Email.
Time to do emails.
Email.
Taken the sound effect button away from Tony, even though he revoked my button 2 seconds.
James, people.
If I was there, I could slap his hand, but I'm actually sitting in my house in Fernley.
Prove it.
James, people have been telling you to stop playing with your button since you were a little kid, so we'll just move on to the emails.
Email.
Here, I'll go ahead and read this first one. Dear Gadget Spot, who do you think you... Oh, this is a negative one. Let's not read that one.
Got an email from Von Hochhalter. He says, hey, Help Desk hosts. Von here again. I use Google's Play Store for Windows Beta through the Windows Store for my Android app access. Check out that branding right there. Google Play Store for Windows Beta through the Windows Store.
That is a long name.
99% of anything available on the regular Play Store is there too. Really handy for accessing Android stuff while I am tied to a computer and can't really use my phone like at work. I didn't know Google Play Store was available on Windows. I thought it was only the Amazon Store.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you listener who wanted help with your Owlet app and other app, there you go. There's a solution for you.
Boom. Thanks for writing in.
And that's it.
Okay. Let's
thanks, Mom.
Let's move along to some articles, some stories, some interesting things to talk about. Okay, let's kick it off with a bang. FCC is finally going to vote on net neutrality.
Whoa, you mean like almost 4 years after Biden got into... The administration here?
The wheels of politics are large and turn slowly.
Yes. Finally, on the April 25th meeting, the FCC is going to vote on net neutrality. And for those who need a reminder of what net neutrality is, it's basically rules so that companies like Comcast out there can't charge you more for certain bits over other types of bits. And it's generally good for the consumer, is my belief. Large companies who control the bits don't seem to like it so much.
Well, and there's also the aspect of it that the companies providing the bits can pay an ISP to prioritize their bits as well. So it gets you on both ends, both from the company and as the consumer.
All bits are equal.
And that's the point of net neutrality. Yeah.
In a purely moral and just world, we wouldn't need something like this. Why, James? Because in the most ideal version of capitalism, companies should be able to compete in an open and free market for giving more and more benefits towards their individual customers. Now, in that being said, we live in a market where corporations meet with each other, borderline unregulated, and they close the doors and they make behind backdoor deals to learn how to screw the customer, and they fix pricing. And this isn't even like, I'm not even saying this as a liberal. It literally happens. These are things that happen.
It's like when Facebook handed over private DMs over to Netflix, which was also in the news this last week.
Womp womp. The vote.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
The vote's happening on the 25th.
25th of April.
Is there any rumblings of which way it's leaning?
Well, I mean, they voted 3-2 in October to reinstate net neutrality. Like just put the proposal out.
Oh, okay.
So I imagine it's going to be along party lines. I don't know why this is a party line thing. It's kind of disappointing. I think it makes sense.
I'll tell you why it's a party line thing. Lobbying.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, that's it.
I don't even know why we're doing this, because you know what's going to happen is we're going to repeal, if it does get repealed or if it gets instated, they're just going to repeal it, and then they have all of this data that we thought was protected by net neutrality that then gets like the tarp thrown off, and then like they get all of that data that we thought was protected that's now not protected. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. None of this matters.
Existential crisis over here for James.
Yeah, a little nihilistic there.
What has this all been about? What are we even doing? I can't find my USB-C to regular USB cord.
That's going to be a problem, I guess. Squink, what do you think about that? Not his USB-C cord.
That's tragic. Yeah. The whole USB-C cord thing.
And he's gone.
New.
He just left. Yeah.
I'd have to see I like details. I'd like to be pragmatic about things. But until you understand what it is they're talking about specifically, you know, when you get down the nuts and bolts, that's where all the, you know, trouble is or isn't. And I haven't actually looked into it at all, cause I'm wildly unprepared since I wasn't supposed to be off tonight. but I haven't really looked into it all that much. Just generally speaking, I like the idea of net neutrality as a consumer.
Yeah. I think that the internet is to the point where it does need to have, it's so important to our society in general that there needs to be some way to regulate that, kind of like we have with, you know, the railroads and
the
power and water and things.
Yeah.
Like
so
that.
The thing is they could accomplish the same thing by making internet access a common carrier kind of situation.
Right.
Like they did with the landline phones, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. They could accomplish that kind of regulation if they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, and back then, AT&T had all the long distance lines. And when that came out, when that came into place, AT&T all of a sudden had to sell access to their lines to other companies that could resell that.
Was that back when they were called Bell, I think, or something?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Bell, they were Bell for quite a while. Well, they were AT&T, and AT&T was made up of a bunch of smaller regional Bell companies. So you had Intermountain Bell, you had Pacific Bell, 9X was New York, essentially New York Bell. And when it got broke up, I think they broke it up into 7 regional baby Bells.
That's great cheese, I got to say.
That is good cheese.
Yeah. But AT&T maintained the long distance lines. The parent company maintained the long distance lines, and then they let other companies,
the
baby Bells, as well as like MCI and other companies like that, were able to sell access to the existing infrastructure.
Okay, kind of like what those smaller telecom companies do with AT&T and Verizon's infrastructure to buy bandwidth and whatnot.
Yeah, and then they can resell it with whatever.
However they want to package it.
Things they want to do it. Mm-hmm. And you could accomplish the same basic thing by making and this is a really overview, it's not no specifics here, but they could make internet access a common carrier situation as well. And then that's one way they could approach this.
Yeah. Cool. I feel like I learned already and we're only 10 minutes in.
I'm sorry.
I didn't come here to learn.
I learned today. That's why I'm off.
Ah. All right. Let's move along to I titled this story, I Feel Bad for Qualcomm.
What? Because a company who wouldn't iterate on processors forever and smartwatches, and
the problem is they are finally, and they're doing it in a way that I think is going to bite them in the butt.
What?
Big company not listening to what they need to do.
Go figure.
Gas.
So we've talked about the Snapdragon X Elite SoCs that Qualcomm has been baking for Windows laptops and things like that. And there's a lot of hype around these. And recently, the Snapdragon Elite, what do you call them, benchmarks were leaked on Geekbench. And they are actually beating the i9-13900H, the 13700HX, and the Ryzen 9 8945HS by a good margin. It's their single core performance is a little bit better, but their multi-core performance is 40% better. And the reason I say I feel bad for Qualcomm is because they're basing all of this work and effort and engineering that they've done on the hopes that Windows ARM is going to get better or be re-released in a better form. And I just don't think Microsoft is going to deliver. And they're going to have built this product that just doesn't get used. You know?
What if Microsoft pulls one out?
Oh, man, I hope they do, because I think ARM architecture is really, really neat. Having seen what Apple has been able to do with their ARM architecture SoCs for their laptops and iMacs and whatnot, and NVIDIA has been making ARM architecture SoCs for data centers and things like that for years that have been really good. So I think it'd be great if Windows actually was able to do that. I don't have any faith in them. They've tried this already, and they failed miserably.
Who's the nihilist now, guy? What's up?
I am a nihilist.
I hate myself. It's fine.
This would just be so fantastic. Because if Microsoft can make ARM on Windows work, imagine the kind of gaming devices that we could get from NVIDIA.
A pure NVIDIA chipset? Yeah. Uh-huh. NVIDIA CPU, which they do well. Their ARM CPUs are very performant, and then NVIDIA GPU baked into there as well.
We could have like a Nintendo Switch, but only like modern instead of 50 years old, like the current Nintendo Switches.
Yeah, it would be awesome. No, because not only are these more powerful than the x86 stuff, that they are way more power efficient. So you'd get the awesome battery life too.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, that looks really cool coming from Qualcomm. We'll see what happens. I really do think, though, it's going to 100% depend on Windows ARM compatibility and efficiency. So we'll see. Speaking of Windows,
makes sense. Yeah.
Speaking of Microsoft and Windows, this is an interesting little article. I don't really get how they're going to do it, though, but apparently they have patented a pixel dimming technology for LCD monitors.
Have you been taken in by an April Fool's joke, Tony?
No, this was from March 28th.
I don't believe you one bit.
There's two kinds of jokes, Tony. Jokes that you got and jokes that you're going to get. Which one is this? One that you got or one you're going to get?
This is neither. It's not a joke. It's the real deal.
Okay.
But one thing you have to remember, though, is it is just a patent. They don't have any working hardware for it yet. And that's why I'm very curious, is because I don't see how this technology would even work, to be frank, because
It's still an LCD.
The
light shines through it, and so you can't.
The only thing I could think of is if they're trying to go the opposite direction of an OLED, where with OLED the light stops because it's off. That pixel is off. Mm-hmm. But if they're trying to make it so the LCD panels can be brighter, and they're trying to increase the brightness level of a monitor on a per pixel.
It's still like dictated by how bright the LEDs are.
Right. In the device itself. You would get more contrast if you have one pixel dimmed and one pixel not dimmed.
It's not dimmed. It's LCD. It's like the light shining through. And
that's the whole thing that it's saying it'll be able to do, is dim the LCD crystal.
You got taken in, man.
It's a real thing that they're working on, apparently. They call it pixel luminance for digital display technology, and it describes problems with pulse width modulated signals and VRR displays because their frequencies are set to higher than the display's frame rate. Anyway, they're saying that the end goal is going to be to have this work with VRR displays as well. So, I don't know.
At this point, it's just a patent application, though, correct?
Yeah, it's just a patent application.
It hasn't even been granted.
Yeah, it's years away from...
It's them saying, this is what I think we can do.
Yep, basically.
It appears this is a legitimate story.
I told you.
But it still doesn't make sense with my doctorate of nothing, all right? I should be able to say what is real or not.
Jaren, come on now. Do you think I would bring an April Fool's story to... Do I look like Owen to you? Would I bring an April Fool's story thinking it was real?
Thinking Lando, not Owen, but okay.
Do I stand with Jaren.
Like
he's not
Lando
wrong.
To you? I have way more facial hair than Lando. Like infinitely more. All right. We'll see if anything comes from that and report back on it. Hey, it's a Microsoft day. What do you know? Microsoft Surface refreshes are coming.
Yeah.
Already?
Remember when the Surface devices were like really cool? They debuted the Surface Book for the first time. I'm like, dang, that is an awesome device. And had one for work for a while and enjoyed it pretty much.
Most of the time. I had one
most
too.
Of the time.
It was all right.
They never iterated on the Surface Book though.
Yeah.
Like it was one model that they refreshed the innards a couple times and that was it.
Did you use it? Because that's my issue with my iPad. Like I got one, but like I never use it.
So I used it as a laptop most of the time. It very rarely did I ever detach the screen and use it as a tablet.
I think I did it like twice.
Yeah.
Just because I could.
Exactly.
Rather than I actually needed to.
Not because I needed to.
Yeah. But it was an interesting concept, and like the original Surface device was an interesting concept. Like it was a detachable keyboard hooked to a tablet that can kind of be a laptop. Those are everywhere now. And then they debuted the Surface Laptop, which has never really been that great of a machine. Like it's built well, but like the innards inside it just have been...
They always underpower it. They always shoot for longer battery instead of higher performance. And I guess if that's your goal, then they were hitting it, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Surface Book, that's been gone for a while. They don't even iterate on that anymore.
Yeah.
The Surface Pro 10 and Surface Laptop 6 have been announced. It's exactly like the previous devices, slightly better internals, and it's only available for business. And so like the story itself isn't that interesting. It just makes me wonder like what happened to Microsoft? Why were the Surface devices so cool for a while and then just get so boring?
The writing was on the wall for these, though, too, because the guy that was over the Surface division did he get laid off or...
He went over to Amazon.
Or did he move? So he knew. He saw the writing on the wall internally, and he's like, okay, well, they're not doing anything with this division anymore. I'm going somewhere where I have growth opportunity.
Yeah. But they did add a co-pilot button. That's new.
Wait, let me... Woo!
Yep. Yeah,
that was fun.
You explained it.
It was like a carnival ride for everybody.
I know.
I must say, I've been underwhelmed by Copilot for Office.
I haven't even farted around with it. I haven't even used it at all.
It's useful maybe a couple times a month. And when I say useful, I mean like barely useful.
here's the thing. ChatGPT did such a good job because I don't feel like they had a big blowout conference talking about all the features that they want to have. They let people decide what they thought about it, right? Versus I feel like when Copilot, when they announced it, it was this really cool, like, holy crap, like, I don't have to learn anything in Excel anymore. It's going to do everything for me.
Not even close.
I know. I still have to learn it. I put off learning it because like, I believed you. I believed you, Copilot.
Copilot for Excel is almost worthless because you have to have autosave on, which I don't like doing because I like to control when I save my file because I create many...
You don't
duplicates.
Like autosave?
No, because like I
love autosave.
I create so many variations on a certain file that if I have autosave on, I'll lose like what the real file is.
I want to come and spend a day with you just to see the amount of control that you need on your day.
That sounds like a Jaren problem.
It's an accounting problem, power user problem, I'll say. And also, you have to convert all your data to a table for Copilot to even work.
Okay,
and
so that's a different story. Yeah,
that is a no-no for many, many tables. It just messes up your formulas. Like, you can't... Ugh. Anyway, Copilot for Excel. Disappointment. Copilot is a disappointment. Microsoft, you
do
lose.
Do better.
When you have as many resources as you do, it's interesting to see a company slow down this much and where you have the smaller companies like overtake them with things that, I mean, it's,
well,
I guarantee there's a smart enough guy there that if they just empowered.
Yeah. I was going to say part of that is the small companies are focused on one or two things. Mm-hmm. These large companies are, you know, trying to put their fingers in every pie.
Well, they can assign a few people to be focused on a couple things.
That's
it's
true.
Just the bureaucracy behind that.
Yep.
Doesn't make it.
You have
work.
Incompetent people that don't want to. There's no like. What,
who's the nihilist now, James?
Oh, it's always been me. There's no value in underling like. I don't know. There's no way of acknowledging like, dude, this person has their shiz together. They know what they're doing. Let's give them all of the resources because then that just makes their supervisor look bad. And who doesn't want to be in power?
And that goes along with the problem I think that corporate America has where they promote people that are good performers and not people that are good with people, not people that
leaders
are good managers. You know, you need to be a little bit of both. You have to be able to perform too. But they should weigh the, does this person seem like they would do a good job at this job factor a lot more than they actually
and
do.
And usually managers are paid more, which motivates people to want to be a manager
exactly.
When you don't have managerial skills.
Yep.
Leaders are chosen. Managers are appointed.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I don't have it in me.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I had a CEO once of a large company that I worked at who said in a company town hall that this is pretty much verbatim. We all know that there's only like 3 or 4 people here that are innovative. Everyone else is here to support them. And this was a company of 5,000, 8,000 people at the time. It's like, oh, okay. So that's what you think of all of us. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you can see somebody killing morale, but
yeah, exactly.
That's
that
gonna be
it.
As close to like murder as you can get.
He did that a few times with a few different things he said, where I was just like, wow, you are.
This is the guy I don't want to work for.
You are tone deaf, my friend.
King Douche of Shiz
Mountain. Is this
Mountain.
The African safari guy?
Yeah, same guy. Oh, anyway.
You know, Greg?
Tried to relate to the people by talking about his African safari.
His African safari he went on a few months ago. It's like,
sweet.
Oh, okay.
Did he shoot pictures or did he shoot animals with guns?
I don't know.
I'm going to let you guess.
He meandered off into another subject pretty quickly. So
because I'm fine with either way. But
all right.
Did he
anyway.
Hunt people? Is he one of those kind of people?
No, he's not that wealthy. No, he's not. He's not. I hunt humans for sport wealthy. No. That's
another
level.
You got pretty hair. Time to start hunting.
Let's see. There's an update to the Google Incognito lawsuit. Now, this has been going for like 4 years so far. Basically, a class action lawsuit saying Google was not clear enough that incognito mode does not actually, you know, keep your data private from them.
What?
Yeah.
Who thought that it did? One second.
James, you got to go put a request in to have something deleted from from Google.
Google won't send it to your wife. Google just wants it for themselves.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're good, man. You're good. So,
I'm worried there.
This was a class action lawsuit filed in 2020 that was requesting or suing for $5 billion in damages.
Wow, that's big for even Google.
Yeah.
Who gets that money?
So mostly the lawyers. Anyone that signed up under the class action lawsuit would get some of that money, and that could, you know, validate or prove that they were affected or could have been affected by using this product.
And how did you do that? You tread out your internet history you don't want anybody to know about.
So they get it either way.
See, I did all this, and
look at
and,
this. And this was
look
all
at these sites.
Incognito.
This is supposed to be when I went to these sites.
Supposed to be incognito, and I wasn't.
That's the problem, though. You don't have that data. Only Google does.
Yeah, that's true.
Because what if my wife found out about this?
The actual whole point of the incognito browsing is to turn off any tracking and history data locally on your machine. It doesn't actually hide your data from the ISP or the, you know, Google or anything like that. So it's just for local.
Yep.
See, now that was what part of the lawsuit stated was that is not clear. And so initially the suit asked for $5,000 in damages per user for alleged offenses.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be?
I could buy a scooter.
Pocket a little extra dough, $5,000 right there.
Buy a new watch.
Mm-hmm. A nice watch. I'd probably just blow it on computer parts.
Yeah, totally.
Get your kids into computer gaming. They won't have any money for drugs. It's perfect.
Or time for drugs.
Sarcastically, but I'm going to actually take that advice.
I stole that joke because online I saw it, get your kids into Magic the Gathering cards because then they won't have any money for drugs. But same idea. So the Google tried to get this lawsuit dismissed in 2021. It failed. And the judge at the time, Lucy Code, said that Google did not do a good enough job notifying the customers that it was still collecting data, even when incognito mode was active. Now, in discovery, they were able to find some data from some of the emails from Google that they brought out, stated basically that private was the wrong term for incognito mode because it risked exacerbating known misconceptions. So they knew in 2019 that there was already a lot of misconceptions going on about what private browsing actually meant. And in a later email exchange, one of the executives said, "We're limited in how strongly we can market incognito because it's not truly private, thus requiring really fuzzy hedging language that is almost more damaging." So they knew the whole time. Like, they totally understood what they were doing. There's no doubt about that. I mean,
it's why certain companies, they require data in order to proceed with certain language. And it's crazy when they don't do that.
And so part of the settlement is requiring that Google turn off third-party tracking cookies by default for the next 5 years. I don't know why they only specified 5 years, but it's already moot because Google has already announced that they're going to be turning all of that off anyway by the end of this year. So all third-party cookies for Chrome users will be disabled by the end of 2024, but they're replacing it with a new system called Topics API. It's a system that avoids cookies by categorizing browsing activities into locally stored topics. So still tracking what you do, but not as specific, I guess, is what it is.
Just slightly better, I guess.
Just slightly better, exactly. Maybe. So
anyway. It sucks less, apparently.
Exactly. It sucks a little bit less for the user. But this is, I mean, we've learned this already. When you're not paying for the product, you are the product.
Yes. Yep.
This is the same thing that we've known about Gmail as well. I read an article. I didn't put it on here, but there was an interesting kind of retrospect on Gmail. I think it was on Engadget. Talked about basically, even back when Gmail was first barely launched, it was clear that they were luring us in by offering a web-based email client that had way more storage than any other one and was much more useful and lightweight, all for access to the data in the client, in your Gmail box. Everything you put in your Gmail account is scanned by Google. I mean, if you don't already know that already, well, surprise, anything you put in your Gmail account is scanned by Google.
Yeah, but it's so hard to change an email address.
That's the thing. I still use one of my email addresses from eighth grade.
Well, you would think that with that, they'd have better searching tools than email as well.
And that's the whole reason they do it is so, well, I mean, that's what they tell us why they do it, is so they can quickly search your email, even based on what the content of the email is. And then they've integrated things like, you know, scheduling assistance and stuff like that. So you can, it can recognize, hey, this is a email that has a movie ticket confirmation. And that's when it says, do you want us to put a Google Calendar event on your Google Calendar for you? You know, that kind of stuff. So it's a trade-off. We're trading our privacy for convenience. And for a lot of folks, that's fine. I mean, I'm one of them. I use Gmail all the time. I don't care. They can see that I ordered some new parts for my K1 Max from China. There you go.
More like KY Max. Oh!
Oh!
Whip, 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 whip.
Was that Donnie, a loop? Donnie needs that lube.
Was that a lubrication joke?
Yeah,
it does.
Big guy's getting stuff.
55-gallon drum, baby.
Woo!
Make it all slick. Let's see. Moving along. What is this UZ Utils, Jaren? I'm not familiar with this. Yes, XE Utils. Sorry.
The XE Utils backdoor. This is a
crazy we just got done talking about lube. We don't need to go backdoor.
Yeah, we do. Keep it going, Jaren.
Okay, James, you
drive
and me.
It home.
All right.
Don't drive home.
Yeah. Talk about how they pegged us.
Don't.
Still a family show.
It's not National Women's Day. You don't need to talk about that.
No, actually, today is National Autism Awareness Day. Fun fact.
Is it really? I think National Burrito Day is today, too, actually.
I had a burrito for lunch on the way home from town.
I'm going to look it up now. Jaren, as you talk, I'm going to see.
All right.
National Autism Day.
This has been a very interesting story in security news the last couple of days. A cryptography engineer, Filippo Valsorda, said this might be the best executed supply chain attack we've seen described in the open. And it's a nightmare scenario. Malicious, competent, authorized upstream in a widely used library. So what happened was...
Wait. Update. Today is National Autism Awareness Day. I was 2 days early for Burrito Day. That's on the 4th of April.
That's important.
So yeah, on the 4th, everyone, go get a burrito.
Okay.
Brought to you by Burrito Makers of America.
And Beto's. Yo quiero Beto's.
Jaren, anyway, would you like to continue?
Yes, I would. Anyway, so this was a backdoor in
Here
in
we
Linux.
Go again.
So I had a...
got a little too excited about all this backdoor talk.
I had something in my chest. Coming out.
I'm so glad you didn't say throat.
It kind of felt like it. anyway, so the person behind this project, this article says they likely spent years on it. Years.
Door?
Yes. Years.
At that point, do you think they would, because they didn't actually insert it, that it would be more like a back porch situation?
Yeah, just a back porch for now.
So this required social engineering.
To make this?
to implement it into Linux.
Oh, into Linux.
Yeah. Wait, yes. Social engineering, what does that mean? Like, he got to know some people? So he actually, like, came outside?
Basically, yeah. Via email and chat, I'm sure.
He had to gain trust of the main person who maintained the XE utility in Linux and convinced everyone else that he wasn't updating the project quickly enough. And so then he became the main updater to this utility.
Wow.
Pushed these code changes, got other people to say, yeah, this looks good, and convinced major Linux distros to implement it into their main OS.
This is like some Mission Impossible level stuff for nerds.
Yes.
Holy moly.
He deserves it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, totally. It took years to implement this. And this was a backdoor into SSH. And this would have been installed on probably billions of devices throughout the world eventually.
What fork of Linux did it specify on here that it's using, does it say? Or just the main Linux kernel that everything else is built off of?
Debian.
Okay.
Which is
that's the big main one.
Yeah, that's a big, that's the main that's one. We got
it. Yeah. Listed a few others. I can't find it on the article. If you want to find it, that's fine, Tony. So anyway, how this was discovered,
Debian's a system. I don't think
Debian-based distros.
Okay.
So anyway, how this was discovered was a Microsoft engineer. He was just poking around and noticed that when he had invalid credentials in going to SSH, there was a half a second latency spike. The processor would spin up quite a bit, and there was like a delay of half a second.
And this guy noticed it and started digging.
This guy noticed it and started investigating, and discovered this back door that could have infected pretty much the entire world.
That's crazy. Yeah, it was Debian and Red Hat. Those are massive install bases.
Yeah. So how the backdoor worked was the malicious actor needed a private key, and basically with that private key, he could get in and do whatever he wanted.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. That's bad, right?
Oh, man. Especially when you consider these are the OSs that are on all the majority of servers in the world. Business servers, you know, game servers, business servers.
Probably government.
Government servers. Everything in the data. The data centers run on Linux, and Red Hat and Debian are two of the most widely used. I knew about Red Hat. I wasn't too sure on Debian, but that's what the article's saying here. So, yeah, that's a big, big deal. So, were they able to patch it or what?
Yeah. They found it. Luckily, nothing from what they can see, nothing's happened yet with this backdoor. So huge save by this random engineer in Microsoft, and it's,
which is also funny because it's a competing platform.
Well, Microsoft is very open source friendly nowadays.
That's true for Linux, yeah.
How funny would it be if they never patched it? They're like, and the patch is ongoing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. What? We just told everyone about this and we haven't fixed it yet.
So this makes you wonder what is out there that hasn't been caught.
You know what this reminds me of is like, this is something you would see on a movie where someone travels back in time and has to create a backdoor into the vast, you know, number of servers across the world to prevent some sort of technological catastrophe. And now he just got his backdoor closed. It's going to save us all, and we're all doomed now. Thanks, Microsoft.
I don't know how to respond to that.
That's what the story would be about, the movie story.
Dang it.
Yeah. It's not good.
He saved the world.
He saved the world.
Yeah.
This and theoretical person.
That went back in time. Yep. I'm not explaining it anymore, James.
Okay.
Just follow the story.
All right.
Yes.
Is there any more, Jaren?
I can go into the social engineering bit a bit more if you want, but yeah, that's the gist of it, and Thank you, random engineer guy. You did us a solid.
That's crazy that it never got exploited, too. That's really good.
Or that we know of.
Yeah, that we know of, yeah.
But
crazy,
I mean,
crazy stuff.
Since it's all open source, they can go back and see exactly what was committed and when. So they have a pretty good idea of the timetable.
Well, I mean, obviously they can have a timetable when it was inserted, but how would you know if it was ever used, if the backdoor was ever opened?
I mean, generally speaking, you can tell when it's inserted, but it's the used part that's the hard.
Here.
If it was used properly, protocols were followed.
In the back door.
All right. And last but not least, this is a really interesting article I found from earlier in March. It is a startup company called Interloon, and they're trying to become the first private company to mine the moon of its natural resource of helium-3.
Ooh. What is helium-3?
Helium-3
goes in balloons, generally speaking, at children's parties to bring happiness.
That is a big market.
Yeah, huge.
It's less buoyant than the air that we breathe, but it is more buoyant than other elements.
So there is, yes, James, well done. There is a lot of liquid helium and things used in quantum computing setups, medical imaging, and possibly down the line as fuel for part of the fuel of fusion reactors.
Part of the fuel of fusion reactors. That's what I was going to say, yes.
Nailed it, James. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
So, yeah, it's a very, very useful element with the way technology is progressing. Problem is there's no way to make more of it on Earth. And so that's why it would be really good if we could figure out how to mine it from the moon in a cost-effective manner. The reason it's on the moon and not on Earth is because it is basically...
in a different location.
Yep. No, it's carried to the moon from solar winds, and Earth's atmosphere and magnetic field prevent it from reaching into the, you know, into our planet and depositing there for us to gather up. So the moon doesn't have any of that problem. So it just smashes into the moon and gets mixed up into the dirt there.
With the dirt, cheese, any mineral.
All the cheese. So yeah, Interloon is working toward that and hopes to be under operations by 2030. That's only 5 years away.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, so they plan to have a pilot plant on the moon by 2028 and begin operations by 2030. That's ambitious.
I don't think it's going to happen.
That's really honest. Ambitious.
Yeah.
Especially since we haven't been back to the moon. Well, we finally did get back to the moon as a lander last month.
A robot. They get all the fun.
Yeah, for the first time in like 40 or 50 years. But yeah, if it works, it could be really good. They just got a $15 million grant or funding, not a grant. So there you go. Mining on the moon.
We're finally going to make Armageddon come to life. It's one of the best Michael Bay movies.
We're going to crack the moon.
I'm excited.
Armageddon was all right.
It was a fun movie. All right, that's the end of this episode. Before we go, big shout out to our awesome Patreon backers, patreon.com/helpdeskarcade. And if you donate $6 a month or more, you get a shout out on the podcast, which Jaren has for us right now.
Thank you to David Roshinsky, Connor Keesaw, and Wiffleball Tony, Jason Eatman, Keonda Cardinal, Lamborghini, Andy Bird, Be the 8-year-old, Tony, the home theater geek, Travis Johnson, Buy Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pyman Graphics on Etsy. All proceeds go to Lee George K's medical bills, Jeremy, No Name, No Color, Keslo, Eric's Steinman and Cruz, Owen has Tech Cred Plus 2, Matt Nelson, Harry Patch, Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd. History is there for you to learn from or repeat, your choice. Ryan M. and Adam Echt. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. That's it. James.
Alt!
You want to do the sign-off for us?
Oh, yeah. Yep, Jaren got it.
I got one.
Okay, Jaren.
If you don't want to do something, just say you're at a baseball game. Be an end user.
Bahama Bombers!